Good afternoon. Questions, please.
So, Mike, where's the excitement level here the last 12 hours? Get any sleep at all after last night?
Yeah, I think we all slept a little bit. Had the players in the day that had an NFLPA meeting at 11. We had a team meeting at noon. Then they had the workout concluding. After the conclusion of the team meeting, and the training room's full, and most guys are in there getting treatment.
So, Mike, what's the rest of their weekend schedule?
We'll be off the weekend. They'll be off for the weekend. We'll have some things getting done Monday, and then we'll crank it up full speed Tuesday.
Mike, from a teaching moment, where does that fit what happened at the end of the game last night from a teaching perspective? Like, how do you use that going forward?
It's unique on a number of fronts. You know, the personnel grouping that we were in was different than we practiced. But the reality is, you know, we were able to get it set. Plus, you know, it came off of a play that was, you know, there was a lot of dispute over a potential penalty. So, you know, a lot of time was lost there in the transition of that. So to be able to get the play off in time was a credit to the players and Aaron. You know, when they went with a three-man rush, so the ability to extend the play and for Aaron to buy time and really to get the, you know, the momentum into the throw. And, I mean, it's probably the best throw I've seen in my time in this game. Just the, you know, the arc that you want to put on the ball and obviously the distance. So, great throw. Like I said, we're in a different personnel grouping and, you know, the ability to get down there and try to box out and really try to form the triangle. I mean, it's a – you know, when you talk about a play that happens in that time frame, that time clock, that far down the field, you know, it's a lot different than going up and running a 12-yard hook and having the spacing underneath it with a, you know, a 2-yard drag route. So, you know, there obviously is some variance to it, you know, as far as just like rebounding in basketball. So, you know, just the way Richard got there and the position he got himself in, high point to football, I mean, and really having Randall right where he was at for the tip coming forward. Devontae was behind him, you know, potentially for the tip backwards. Obviously, the rules, you know, switched there. So, I mean, it was just, you know, our guys doing a really good job of playing football in space and going after and getting like, Richard going up and getting the football.
Mike, I know for long field goals, you know, obviously how far back your kicker is comfortable with his range. For Aaron in the helm, is that the scraping the capacity of where he can reach the end zone at 39 or going in? What did you?
I don't know. The way through last night, we could. I mean, looked like he had a few more yards left in him. So, you know, just mechanically and just being in tune with his technique and just the way he processes information and, you know, just the ability to get up as close as he could to the 40-yard line and launch, you know, to launch the ball. And, you know, I think a lot of guys may go with a flatter throw because they're thinking, you know, they got to get it there. But the confidence that he has in his arm and his ability to throw at that arc. And, you know, the arc of the ball is critical to the success of the play. I mean, that's the way it's coached. So the way you want the ball, the angle you want the ball to come out, to drop down, you know, into the end zone area. So, I mean, it's great protection and a great throw.
That's like that chimney thing that you guys talked about.
Down the chimney, yep. I mean, you see, the, you know, we practice, it's just, you know, it's the same throws they practice, you know, every day in the quarterback school segment, where, you know, whether it's the tight red zone throws and then, you know, move it back eventually to the go route. We don't practice the Hail Mary throw that much.
Mike, you obviously saw it happen live. When did you watch it on tape? On the flight home, did you see it on
video? I watched it on flight home.
Is it a little bit like, you know, the end of the movie, but you still can't quite believe that it happened that way?
It's the beauty of, you know, fast forward. So I obviously went right to the last play and then watched the tape. So, you know, I just wanted to see the specifics of it and saw it on TV last night or this morning, I guess you'd say. I couldn't sleep. So sat up and watched it a few times on TV. So I mean, it was a phenomenal play. And I was just speaking with Aaron in the training room before I come in here. I mean, it's you know, outside of the Super Bowl. I mean, it's, to me, that's our greatest regular season win. And it's more about, you know, obviously the play, but, you know, the reaction on the sideline. I mean, that's the stuff you remember. I mean, I just get the biggest kick, you know, just seeing our guys, you know, the joy that they have and the excitement in the locker room. And, I mean, it was phenomenal. I'm looking for flags like I always do when we have big plays just to make sure it's going to, you know, just I think it's just your process as a head coach. But, I mean, just what a great win. You know, it's one win. It's a division win. But I think just this stretch that we talked about, you know, the second stage of our season, we knew this was going to be the trials of our schedule, and it's definitely been that. So there's a lot to learn from what we've been through. We need to carry it forward.
Just on the flip side of the sideline emotion, were your guys in any sort of danger on the apparent pass interference to Apoderis? Like, it looked like TJ was really fired up. Maybe a few other guys were. You guys didn't get any sort of warning or anything from the.
I mean, the 40-second clock was running. So, I'll be honest, I thought the referees handled it great. I mean, Carl, you know, you're running down the end zone, and he's running over to me telling me we got to kick the extra point, and I kind of laughed. I said, this is going to be a couple minutes. You know, I mean, chill out. You know, I'm not stopping this. You know, you got to be kidding me. So, and we laughed about it. So then he says, you're really going to kick it. And I says, you know, I've never really been in this spot before, Carl. And then he goes, and then I said, well, what? I should just nail on it. And he said, oh, yeah, that's what he would do. And I said, okay, well, let's nail on it. So it was good to have great help from the officiating.
But you have to run the play, right, just like Seattle did after the
absolutely.
Okay. Mike, you made the comment after the game that I guess at halftime you told the guys, hey, we're not going to lose this game. We're not here to lose this. Mm-hmm. So how desperate was this game yesterday as it turned out? I mean, you win the game and you think, hey, rest of the season now, this could.
Well, I was desperate. I think the thought process is a lot different. I mean, you're in a football game, and, you know, it's just you have 0 points on the board, and they have 17. So, you know, perception and reality. I mean, that's the facts. We're down 17 points. But, you know, just the reality from the way we were playing and the things that happened to us. I mean, offensively, the penalties and along down the distances, I mean, we could not overcome that. And it really was a pretty big factor in our offensive production. So, I mean, you know, take the face mask on Josh on the I think it was the second series. We start with the screen and things like that. So, you know, we had a couple of second and first and 20s and things like that. So, and defensively, you know, we had the bad punt. Gave them field position. They got the first 3 points, and then a turnover. They got 7 off the turnover, and you know, we didn't get the. We didn't get the check versus their empty line. So we really were 3-4 plays. And I hate when we do an analysis like that where we say, hey, we, you know, they rushed for 160 yards, but they got 75 or, you know, or 80 on two runs, but they all count. So, I mean, I just like Detroit, those plays count against us. That's why we're down 17 points. So, you know, I just felt that we were a lot closer than the scoreboard indicated. So, and they came out, you know, Detroit came out of second half with that long drive and that, you know, time consuming, you know, a little over six minutes. We held them to a field goal, and, you know, and that was really kind of the point that we got started.
Mike, I know maybe it gets lost in how the game ended, but how big was Julius Peppers' third quarter strip sack to change momentum, and then also the way that the defense those final 3 quarters kind of captured?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, if you look at after the, you know, when we went to 17-0, I think we had, what, 3 and outs? So, and, you know, got the ball back for the 2-minute, you know, draw opportunity for the half. And, you know, we didn't take care of that, you know, take advantage of that. But, you know, to come out, hold them to 3, you know, go down there and score, and then get that sack fumble. That's a huge play. It's a huge momentum changer and, you know, puts us back in the game.
Mike, on the broadcast, Bill Sims said something happened last week with Lacey. What happened?
Well, I mean, nothing happened last week with Eddie. We really in the, you know, prior, you know, leading up to the game, there's an internal football decision that was made, and that's what resulted in Eddie's reps.
So it was not disciplinary?
Could be, but those things we don't discuss in here anyway. So it's something that we handled internally, and that was the outcome.
Like, can he get back into, I don't want to say good graces, but and the guy was coming off back-to-back 100-yard games, and then when he doesn't play much, everyone's kind of wondering why. What does he need to do to kind of get back to where he was then?
He needs to build off his preparation. You know, he's put up some yards in the prior games, but, you know, he can be better. We need to be better as a team, frankly. I discussed this with our our team meeting. There's a lot more to give. The fine details are not where we want them to be. There's a formula for us to get it there. So that was made clear to our players and with the expectations to our expectations and the commitment that we've made to each other, and we've got to do a better job. So I mean, it's we're not clicking for four quarters in all three areas. So and that's what we're working for.
Rob asked you about the final sequence being a teachable moment. What about coming back the way you did? I mean, in your 10 years, there have not been a ton of times where you've had to come back. Aaron kind of gets knocked once in a while for not having enough comebacks. Is there something, you know, I'm not saying every time you're down you can go, hey, look what we did in Detroit, but is there some value to that?
I think it's part of the fabric of your team. It's really, you talk about the word focus, and focus, covers a lot of things. I mean, what are you thinking about when you're down 17-0? So, I mean, what's going through your head? I mean, you have one or two choices. So if you make sure you're taking the positive one. And if you're not, make sure you switch it to the positive one. So, I mean, those are the kind of things that really give you a good look inside your football team and tell you what you're all about. So, and I'm not sure what the statistics are about close games and so forth. But, you know, I think there's periods in our, like I say, our program or our time, particularly area, I think early in Aaron's early years, I think that stat got lopsided. And our guys, they played to the end, and they illustrated that last night.
How did David Bakhtiari come out of last night with his knee, and what kind of guts did he show to get back on the field?
I mean, he's beat up. I mean, they're all beat up. I just visited with David earlier, and he's gonna, his words to me was he plans on practicing every day next week, and just looking forward to this time off. Your big guys, obviously, playing the four games, the four division games, the 11-day period. I think the fact that what you hear a lot of is the two turf games. The two turf games in the last three place segment. That's something that's been really hard, particularly on the big guys with their joints.
Mike, what happened or what factored into the decision to cut Harris before the game and kind of make that switch over to
him? I mean, that's really a personnel decision. But I'll just say, I just bring a smile on my face, when I think of Crockett. You come off the field here at Lambeau. He's the first guy in the tunnel, meets the team. He's got unbelievable energy. He puts a lot of time in. He's got his nose in his playbook the way it should be. So there's just a lot there that's been going on for really since training camp. That decision could have went either way, in my opinion, between Alonzo and Crockett. So it was time to give the young man opportunity. Rakowski was sick. There's a number of things that went on. There was some guys that I thought maybe they were going to play that didn't make it. So we had a lot of moving parts over there Thursday morning
in Detroit. Hey Mike, no offense, but I don't spend the whole game watching you on the sideline. The couple times I did look over there, it looked like you and Tom were fairly close together. Were you discussing more of the play selection with him yesterday at all in the second half, or was
that? I don't think more than normal. I mean, I'm on headsets the whole time with him. I've been in, I've gone to every game plan meeting now for the last 3 weeks, so I feel like some of the things we changed early in the season, we've gone back to the way it was done when I was in there. So, I think we've made some progress there.
From that standpoint, there was no change in the play calling operation or what?
No, I mean, I need to shut up more, frankly. I think the most important thing is, and I don't know how other people do it, but the network, the communication network and calling plays, you're calling plays, you need information before the series, and timely information within the series. So that's something that we're all conscientious of, and just to make sure we're, trying to give Tom the support that he needs there.
Was that the problem on the fourth down play where you had to use one of your timeouts? It looked like Aaron was at the huddle and kind of went like this. It looked from far away that he didn't have a call or something.
You have communication situations. I don't recall whether if it didn't go in clean or if the headset goes off at 15. So I don't recall exactly what happened there.
Are you thinking Jake Ryan's earned a chance to be the starter going forward?
From what I saw, I liked what I saw. But frankly, I have not watched the defensive tape yet. But I watched the offense. But the defense and the special teams, I'll do this afternoon.
Two more, please. Mike, what's that?
Go back to the Hail Mary thing.
and there's a reason why it's called a Hail Mary. You know, the emotion for you, knowing you're down to that, you have to make that type play call, it's the only thing that's left. And it's a play that you work on every week, but it hardly ever works, and then it does. What's your emotion on that?
Well, frankly, I think when you call plays, you know, the responsibility of the coach is to put the player in position. And I know that sounds very basic, but that's all I'm thinking about there. That whole segment of when you're calling plays, you know, we went with the final play beforehand because it technically was the final play, and where Richard threw it back to Aaron, and we got the penalty. So you just, you know, you're trusting your preparation, and then you get to the rebound pass. We actually call it a rebound pass. We don't call it Hail Mary because we think we're going to go catch it, you know, like a rebound. So it's called a rebound pass. And it's just really, watching the mechanics, you know, the play entry, and I saw the three-man rush. I was excited about that. You know, Aaron, the way he maneuvered the rush, and then when he came out to his right, I thought, shoot, we're going to get a clean attempt at it. So I'm not even watching what's going on down the field. So then when he released it with the arc of the ball, you know, my thought was we got a shot, you know, and then obviously the positioning of the players and, you know, and it really just comes down to will. I mean, going up and making a catch, and Richard Rodgers got that part done. So, you know, I really do, even in the big moments. And frankly, when he caught it, then, you know, right away, I started looking for yellow flags. So just I think your experience. I think the longer you do things, you know, it's kind of the process of a head coach.
I kind of come down to it after you lost David there for a few plays. Who would have been your emergency lineman if you lost another guy?
I can't tell you.
Mike, you said jokingly, of course, you need to shut up more when it comes to the play calling operation. That's something that you're obviously very good at. When you see the offense struggling, you have to fight against the temptation to give more input than maybe you need to in those situations, because it is a skill that you have.
Well, I think the head coach's responsibility is to give input throughout the whole team. So, I do it on special teams and defense. You know, not as much as before, but I think anytime you have a experience in a certain area, you lend to give more advice there. That's fair.
Mike, sorry, Eric. With Richard Rodgers, I think we probably all asked you in here about needing to get more out of that tight end position. A performance like that, not only just the Hail Mary, but what he gave you before that, how big is that for him and then potentially for this offense?
Yeah, I think, you go up before the Hail Mary. I mean, Richard had a heck of a football game. I think he caught every ball that was thrown to him, if my memory serves me right. So he's, he needed that, and we needed that. So, we need more production in the passing game, you know, and that was a big night for Richard.
Since there was no rebound, you need to rename your – I mean, it's not as cool as River City, whatever you called it. but you need to rename it since there was no rebound?
Well, it is a rebound. He went and got it.
Oh, you're saying like it would come
– Yeah, go and catch like a rebound.
Oh, okay. Not like going off somebody's hands.
Oh, you mean like bounce it, second rebound?
And Mike, one more thing on that. This may be stupid, but like at probably that situation, is it a play call, whether it's 47, jet, whatever, or is it just great rebound play? I mean, does it have a call like
It's actually two jet rebound pass, but we were in a different personnel, so it was actually scat two rebound pass, since you guys are such experts, which is a five-man protection, and you're scatting all your receivers. Yeah, write that down, Jason. That's good stuff.
Sorry if I made you reveal scheme, but
yeah.
Did you see how Treader looked at when you looked at the tape? Did you see how he looked at where the line of scrimmage was and made sure that he didn't go downfield too far? Did you notice that when you watched the tape? Like, I'm just.
Well, I didn't notice it because he was doing his job.
Right. Yeah. But that's
usually notice the things when they're not doing their job. Yeah. No, it was good. It's an extended play. I mean, the time clock's coached as trying to create an extended play, obviously, especially from that distance. I mean, they probably need a whole another second to get down there. Thank you.